Hey, Doc!
Oh, hi. I thought Sylvia's not coming today.
She couldn't get to the beach fast enough. I'll meet her there later. So what you got going today, Doc?
Well, it's me and Max again, talking about coronavirus. It's episode number 3.
I don't think I can take much more of that COVID.
You and me both.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Dr. Heather Uncensored. Today, we're going to do coronavirus number 3. And again, I'm with my dear friend, Max Mitchell, who's obviously somewhere out in the South Seas there.
I'm actually in the desert.
Yeah, exactly. Rancho Mirage. And we really just want to talk much further than we did. In we didn't know what was going on 2 months ago. And we've had all this time to query, to reflect, you know, what is going on with this lockdown, what's going on with COVID-19. So many questions, so few answers, although there are some answers. So we're going to kind of, you know, obviously I'm looking at it as the perspective of a naturopathic medical doctor. And I want you to look at it like that too. I want you to start thinking about, who are you influenced by? Who do you believe? Where do you get your information? Yesterday I saw, well, someone sent it to me because they wanted my feedback, and they're quite conservative people. New York Times was saying, you know, so many things about the misinformation from different quarters. And I thought, okay, I've been at this work for over 30 years. And that kind of stuff is not getting out there. Maybe a little bit in Canada, I'm not sure. But here in the States, I've never heard one drop about vitamin D, vitamin C, certainly not on mainstream media. So today, I really want to talk with Max about where we are now with this virus.
Mm-hmm. But to be fair, there was a story in the New York Times about the vitamin D yesterday, I believe it was.
Oh, was there? Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So but it was inconclusive. They said it's inconclusive.
Oh, well, when I wrote, you know, I have 3 books coming out, and one of them is Surviving a Viral Epidemic, The Naturopathic Approach, which has hundreds of citations. And so one study from Canada a few years ago said that vitamin D was better than a flu shot. And that's what they recommend. I think that they're hesitant to do that for different reasons, but the truth is that vitamin D is absolutely important. And there was another, and maybe this is the one actually, the vitamin D shows that in terms of if you're actually going to die from the SARS-CoV-2, you know, mm-hmm. in COVID-19, that vitamin D seems to have an effect.
Well, yeah, there was an information in the article that something like people who were taking vitamin D had a much lower death rate.
Yes. Yeah, right. Oh, yeah, I did see that one. That's right. Yeah.
Not to change the subject, but if you are in the sun a lot, don't you get sufficient vitamin D from sunlight?
Well, you know what's so strange is that when I moved to Los Angeles, and I always make sure that people get blood work that shows vitamin D. Mm-hmm. There were so many people that were native Angelenos, and their vitamin D was like 30, 35, which it should be 60, even up to 100, but say 60 and 80 is a good range. And I was shocked. And then I realized that most people are deficient in other minerals that allow the absorption. So even though you might be out in the sunshine, as we are here, there may be other factors that you just are not absorbing it because you're low in other nutrients. And I think that's one point that we have to talk about is that anything you take, you need to do it in harmony with other substances. And we'll get into that in terms of minerals and how to work with that. Because in Vancouver has had a very different presentation and death rate than, say, Montreal, my hometown. And we're trying to figure out why is that. Now, it may be that people from Montreal went on vacation earlier, their spring break, and they brought it back from Florida. But the other thing is that Vancouver, at least did in the past, has a high level of copper, too high level of copper, really, on some level. It means that people there should be taking more zinc. But copper, the virus can't live on copper for very long. So we have to think about the copper status. We have to think about, you know, the water we drink or the food we eat and what kind of levels of minerals are there. So it's interesting in Vancouver that it just has been doing a lot better than Montreal. And I wonder if that might be one factor. Apparently they've also done a good job, but what does a good job mean? I'm not really sure. So yeah. There are a lot of people, my daughter will tell me that a lot of people are out there. They've been allowed to get out now. And, you know, there's a park across from her house and lots of people gathering, definitely not 6 feet. I mean, people are just not paying attention to that there as well, mm-hmm. which is, I'm not saying that that's good or bad right now. Cause I want to, mm-hmm. I really want to get into, I don't really care so much about the fact that it may have leaked from a lab in Wuhan. Maybe it did. I mean, I hear a lot of scientists saying that it's not an evolutionary virus, which makes sense mm-hmm. to me. But I have no idea figuring that out. But what is important to me is the fact that no matter why this has happened, no matter if it came from bad information from Neil Ferguson in the Imperial, I think it's the Imperial College in Britain, and that they have been basing that on his work, I really don't care on some level because I think it's been really good for one reason. And that is because it's a wake-up call to deforestation, to the problems on this planet, and that we really need to reflect. I also think that it's enough already. But mm-hmm. we do really need to think about that we have to stop destroying wildlife's habitat. And we have to understand, start living in harmony mm-hmm. with the earth and with each other. And we're not. And so it's kind of like, to me, kind of Gaia, Mother Earth, you know, wanting to bump us off and say, mm-hmm. hey, you can't do this to my planet. Mm-hmm. So I think that's one of the positive things.
Yeah. I just saw a story about the level of air pollution or carbon dioxide in the air was reduced by 17% in the month right. of April. Because
I would have thought that it would have been more than that. But
mm. Well, I guess some people are still working. You know, they're still... Right. driving cars and burning gas and electricity is being used for whatever. So all of those things right. are still going on just to perhaps to a lesser degree.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's working from home or not everyone. A lot of people don't have that luxury. But if you know, people are talking about, well, I'll never go back to the office. And employers are saying this works for our firm. So we don't, you know, maybe we don't even need an office. We right. can, you know, we can save thousands of dollars on monthly rent for an office. People can work from home. That's less overhead for the company.
Right.
It's a win-win, right?
Right. Yeah.
No traffic, no cars, no...
I know. Yeah. Yeah, there's just so many aspects to really talk about.
But it's a wake-up call in lots of other ways. I was watching on TV, they were talking about, you know, what happened in the wake of the plague and the Spanish flu, and all these similar types of crises were that rules and regulations were enacted that were good, like, you know, the bubonic plague of the 1600s or whatever brought in paved roads and things like
right,
that.
Right, exactly. That's right. And we learned about sanitation and public yeah. health and personal hygiene.
Sewers were invented after Sewers. That.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. And that mm-hmm. that's there are huge reasons why, you know, smallpox and polio are not around. I mean, it's not just yeah. vaccines, but we can get into that. Yeah, I think that what I wanted to also talk about is the fact that, you know, people get infected with viruses all the time. They're 8% of our body is made up of viruses. And we're so scared of course, it's a pathogenic virus. It is a deadly virus. But why are so many people not dying? I mean, that's the question we need to ask. What is it that we learned about the fact that it's mostly in nursing homes and people with underlying conditions? What does that tell us?
Right. But there's also a lot of examples of people who are perfectly healthy and young and strong, you know, dying as well. And what's that about?
Well, yeah. So what I think that is about, because I still think that if we could do labs on these people, that you would it would show that they have, like, say, low minerals, not enough zinc, not enough copper, not enough. They just don't have the antioxidants, and so their body is just not being able to fight off the virus. I think that even though you're young, people are so diminished in what they are because of what they eat and what they don't eat. And it doesn't matter anymore. I mean, when I remember when I was in biology class and they were talking about three generations of cats who did not have proper nutrition. Well, after three generations, they basically were infertile. And it's the same thing now, is that we've had how many generations since after World War II, when all that foods with pesticides and, you know, all the chemicals, we're just a very, very unhealthy, and especially in the States, just so unhealthy. I was in Ralph's the other day, and you look at what people buy, and I'm thinking, this is a friggin' pandemic. Why are you buying this? You know, a friend of mine, I noticed she had a bag of Doritos she was eating, and I thought, why don't you just sort of take care of yourself? And that's the other thing, is we should be talking about getting fresh fruits and vegetables in stores in South LA. I mean, in East LA, I mean, these places where people don't have that, they don't have access to fresh fruits and vegetables. It's ridiculous. This is California, but nobody talks about that part.
Plus, fresh fruit and vegetables are actually more expensive than Taco Bell. And that's a problem. I saw this on 60 Minutes did a piece on this, and this family, Latino family in, you know, San Antonio or somewhere, and they were going to Taco Bell drive-through for Sunday dinner, and the mother, and they're poor, and you don't blame them. They want, you know, they can only afford so much. But the woman said, it costs me more to go to the supermarket and buy broccoli than to take the kids to Taco Bell.
It's ridiculous. And, but the other thing is that everybody should be encouraged to have gardens.
Yes.
And that happens a lot in Vancouver, but it doesn't happen that much here.
Right. I know there should be a lot more of that.
Yeah. So much more of it. Yeah. And the, I mean, and the other thing is that we have to also talk about our gut, because our gut is where everything starts, really. And so if you don't have good microbes there, you don't have good, it's called microbiome in your body. So then your nose, your everything in your body, it's just the balance of bacteria. It's just not, it's going to be more pathogenic, you know, more deadly, more sickly. And that's just so important. And that's why eating fermented foods or making sure that your gut is in a good place, even emotionally, how important that is. We never, of course, talk about that, because that's just not something that allopathic medicine deals with at all. They think we're nuts. Even to, I mean, God forbid I should mention leaky gut. But those are the things that we should be talking about. And that's why naturopathic physicians are so important right now, because we actually really know what to do in this, but we're never asked.
I know. You know, when I've been to allopathic doctors in the past, occasionally, I'm just curious how they think. And I will say, well, you know, whatever the particular issue is, I say, do you ask them, well, do you think diet has anything to do with this? Oh, no, no, not a, it's not important. I mean, you know, and you know damn well it is. there's a certain, let me just ask you this question, because this came up. We're Elliot and my partner and I were trying to go towards being vegan.
Right.
But we're not all the way there yet. But we don't eat poultry and meat anymore. We eat some seafood and that's all. The rest is all pretty much vegetables, but eggs and cheese maybe. But question is, all these meatpacking plants where all these people are getting infected and spreading it, and the wet market in Wuhan where allegedly the virus came from. Okay, all of which is to say, is the fact that humans are eating so much meat have anything to do with the fact that these viruses exist at all or keep spreading?
Well, I don't think it's meat per se. I think that there's, people have eaten meat for millennia. It's the way we get that meat. You know, that meat in those meat packing plants, the animals are treated inhumanely, it's barbaric. I mean, they don't even realize that these are life forms. Whereas if somebody goes out and hunts, it's a different story. I mean, you're getting an animal that has been wild until that moment, or you're getting animals that are taken care of properly, and then they're killed humanely. But yeah, these meatpacking plants, no wonder they're rife with pathogenic bacteria and viruses, and they're just so unhealthy. So obviously we can see that. So that's another thing that we can learn.
And those animals have been fed antibiotics their whole life.
Yeah.
And so they probably, you know, from the day they were born, they've been abused. They've been fed antibiotics and God knows what other drugs. They've been fed what they may not normally even eat because it'll fatten them up faster.
Oh, it's
and
disgusting.
It is. And, you know, that's the main reason I wanted to go vegan, was not because I think it's necessarily healthier, but because of the cruelty of industrial farming.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean, there are people who really take very, very good care of their animals, and it's grass-fed and it's organic. And, you know, that's a completely different picture than we look at these meatpacking plants and even the way chickens are in cages. And mm-hmm. I mean, and that's what I really wanted to talk about today, is like this reflection over the last few months is, how do we get back in harmony with the earth? How do we, you know, I don't like to say laws of nature's or rules or, but you know, there really are. Like, for us as naturopathic medical doctors, we come from a line of people believing in, it's called, let's see if I can get this right, vis medica res naturae, which means the healing power of nature. And if you follow those rules, and I've done that for 32 years, I mean, I healed myself from Graves' disease when I was told, oh no, that thyroid's got to come out. I mean, you don't have any TSH. I'm like, no way, that's not going to happen. And look at me.
Yeah.
I have no autoimmune disease. They can't even believe it. And I'm like, because you have to know what to do. And nobody really understands that food is so important. Meditation is so important. Getting your vagus nerve, you know, the GABA, the neurotransmitter that's going to be really peaceful. Being in harmony in your relationships. You know, eating organically. Making sure you're hydrated. All these things, just taking the time to heal yourself. I don't hear anything of that in this last few months. And that's a crime. As far as I'm concerned, what am I doing sitting in here? I have this knowledge. My colleagues and lots of other people have this knowledge, and we're told that we're banned from Facebook groups. I mean, excuse me, I'd like to be able to tell you, you know, because I have the experience. I have complete confidence in what I do because I've had the experience over 32 years.
Well, keep fighting, because a lot of people who turned out to be right had that experience when they started out, that people wouldn't let them speak, or they were considered quacks, or criminals even, or jailed for.
Absolutely.
And then, you know, 100 years later, everybody goes, oh my, well, this we knew this all along, right?
That's right, exactly. Well, go ahead.
My doctor, when I lived in New York City, when HIV hit the scene, I went to this doctor, and she was great. She did everything through nutrition. Her whole practice. She was at NYU. Told me that her story. She told me her story, and she was older then. She was still working, but she had rheumatoid arthritis. And her doctor said, well, there's nothing you can do. Make yourself comfortable. give up your practice. Make yourself comfortable. Go home and wait to die.
Really? And that's what they told her.
Basically, they didn't say it in that those words. They said, make yourself comfortable, quit your practice, go home, relax. And she said, I wasn't going to do that.
Right.
So she started doing research, and she found Michio Kushi, the founder of macrobiotic cooking.
So
she went to Japan, and she met Michio Kushi, and she, you know, studied with him. And so she changed her diet to a macrobiotic diet, and she was healed of her rheumatoid arthritis to the point where she went back to work, and she worked until she was like 70 years old, and she was going camping in the Catskills on the weekends and hiking.
Right.
And she was perfectly fine, and she wouldn't even take an aspirin.
Exactly. Yeah. See, so that kind of thing is just totally normal to me. Like, I had a patient. Kaiser told her, oh, you're going to have to be on these drugs for the rest of your life. I mean, she's not even that compliant. I mean, she keeps doing what I've asked her, but I haven't seen her. And because she, you know, it's a money situation, I guess. And also I've been basically retired the last couple of years writing these books. But it was like 3 weeks later, she called me, you know, and this is what happened all my practice. They can't believe it. How can that possibly be? Why do I not have to take pills to feel better? I'm like, well, because you're working with your body, you're getting the inflammation down. You're understanding even, you know, how these foods support your body. They're not just stopping a process. They're actually supporting and nourishing the body. So yeah, exactly. So, I mean, you'll find the people with MS, if they change their diet, not always, but if they change, get off their allergies, they can be cured. Mm. But a lot of people just don't want to know it. They don't want to try. They just think that, oh my gosh, you know, that's why when we talk about underlying conditions, heart disease, yeah. You know, respiratory sure. conditions, those are all need to be fed by different nutrients. I mean, CoQ10 is something that anybody with any kind of heart disease needs to be, you know, taking at least 400 milligrams a day. Definitely mm-hmm. if you're on statins, which you shouldn't be on statins. But those little kinds of things that people just don't realize they're so important.
I want to write down, what do you recommend for the daily dose of vitamin D?
Well, it depends what you've got to get your levels checked first. I mean, you never know what they are. So if I were to tell you to take 5,000 IUs a day and you are already at 100, that's not a very good idea. But if you're at 30, I might say, you know what, you should take 50,000 for a few days and just get it really boosted up there, especially in a situation like this where you mm-hmm. really want you to get your immune system. If it's not, if you're not worried about a virus, you could go up more gradually. So it's right. very individual. And I think that's one of the things that we really need to understand these days is how personalized medicine must be. One, because of genetics. You might have a genetic tendency for something. Yes, there's epigenetics, which means we can change our genes. Our body and our brain is neuroplastic and can change. But everybody really has to be seen in that way personally, and we have to do it individually.
It's interesting that I just had this surgery. So I went for blood tests, urine sample, all the whole nine yards. And there's every imaginable readout on this test, except there's no vitamin D level. There are no vitamin levels of any kind. That's not there.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, I think that, I mean, it was a lipoma, right?
Yeah.
So they're not really, they're looking more like, to me, these kind of things that sequester like that, it may be very positive that the body does that, because you just don't know if, you know, fat cells are the ones that take up the pesticides or all the, you know, dangerous chemicals. So it might be that your body was actually doing you a favor, putting it together, sort of mm-hmm. encapsulating it. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I mean, in that regard, I would suggest that you do look more like, well, maybe you do have, I mean, and this is going out to be really fine-tuned, but, you know, you could look at, do a panel on possible pesticides, heavy metals, mm-hmm. see if that's, or else sometimes these things happen too, like cysts can happen because you have too low iodine. And I think that's something that everyone should take, do iodine mm-hmm. and iodide, just because they have a bit different activities that they do. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that I really wanted to get to this episode was I really want people to understand who they are influenced by. Do you believe the mainstream media? Do you believe the government? Do you believe your parents? And the second question is, do you have any trauma that you've gone through in your life that has not been worked through? Because what really bothers me is that people just seem, I don't want to say ignorant. It's kind of, you know, I know it's a demeaning word, but people are really naive about the fact that they're getting information from people who really don't know what they're talking about. I mean, it's the whole thing about, I don't really understand why people are giving so much credence to Bill Gates. He's a, you know, what, a computer guy. He doesn't have any science in his background. He has never worked with people on that level. And yet here he is promoting a vaccine for everybody and maybe a chip for everyone. And then people say, well, why are people getting so upset about vaccines? We need a vaccine. Do we? Do we really need a vaccine? Because if we get a vaccine, what happens in 2 years when there's another one? And I could bet you $1,000, even more, that there's going to be a much worse epidemic coming, whether it's this fall or in 2 years or 5 years. There's no way that this is anything but a warm-up for us to understand the planet, understand our bodies, understand our communities, and how we need to take care of ourselves and each other. Because this was nothing. I mean, yes, it was something, and I certainly don't want to diminish if people had family or friends who passed away. I know my local Ralph's, one of the employees died, and I just feel really, really sad about that. But the fact is that people can be up to 65,000 people die of flu every year, and most of those people have flu shots. And this is, yes, it's more than a bad seasonal flu, but on the other hand, we have such a crappy diet in this country, and there's air pollution, and there's toxins in the water, and there's toxins in the soil, which impede the minerals.
And the fruit is spread with all kinds of toxins.
This is not going to go back to normal. Pardon me?
And the fruit, you know, all the fresh fruit is sprayed with,
exactly.
If it's not organic, sprayed with chemicals.
Yeah. So I think I really want people to think critically. I want them to understand where it's coming from. The fact that people always say, like someone dismissed me the other day on Facebook's something about, well, that's a conspiracy theory. At a time like this, there is nothing, there is no conspiracy theory. There are theories. This is science, true science. When I was in biology, you know, they said, you have to keep an open mind. And that is the last thing that I see these days. Think about what is going on. Why do you want a vaccine? Why do we want a vaccine when it's an RNA virus? It changes and mutates. Okay, it's slower than HIV. Everybody knows you can't get a vaccine for HIV. The flu shot is just ridiculous too, because it's a RNA virus, doesn't mutate as fast as the HIV. And, you know, these SARS 1 and 2, which is the COVID-19, they are also RNA viruses, and they are going to mutate before you're going to be able to know what that pattern is. And the other thing about it is the fact that what are they putting in the vaccine? They put so much crap in as adjuvants, which are, the vaccine's not going to work if they don't put these harmful substances in. Well, I know what to do without doing a vaccine. I know how to boost my immune system. I understand that interferon is an antiviral chemical in my innate immune system. I know that I have an adaptive immune system that has two parts, the cell-mediated and the humoral. The humoral is what the vaccines go for. That's the antibodies. But you need the cell-mediated, because the cell-mediated is going to detox. It's going to flush out all the bad stuff. That doesn't happen with a vaccine. You just get some antibodies, but that means that all those things are stuck in your body. And sure, the innate is going to do it, you know, slowly, but not what a cell-mediated system would do. And so if anybody doesn't understand that about vaccines, please email me at drheatherh@icloud.com, and I'm really happy to send you my article on vaccinations, because it really does explain what the problem is. And I've tried go ahead.
I have a couple of questions.
Yeah.
What does RNA mean in RNA virus?
I think it's just ribonucleic acid, basically. It's like the DNA. That's a di. It's okay. So you've got DNA and you've got RNA, and I'd have to look up, you know, it's a long name.
It makes
basically ribonucleic acid. Mm-hmm.
It's a different kind of virus than some other kind of virus. Is that what it means?
So in a DNA, you've got double strands. In an RNA, except for rotaviruses, you've got a single strand, which means they're unstable. They don't have, you know, it's like having a partner. You're a bit more stable.
Mm-hmm. Really. I see.
You know, so all these are single-stranded RNA viruses.
Right.
And so, and we've talked about that, I think, in the last one that we did, about what kind of foods will be able to knock off the virus from the ACE2. That's our receptor site. The virus comes in, right, with its spikes, and it joins the ACE2. I just want everybody to go back to definitely the episode, the coronavirus number 2. That'll give you the foods that have all the properties, whether it's caffeic acid or whatever.
Here, I have another question. I have two more questions, actually.
Oh, good.
Is this a good time?
Yes, all right.
The theory, I try not to get into the vaccine argument because I have friends, literally, when it comes up, their heads explode.
I know. Me too.
Nuts.
Yeah.
So it's and I usually am drawn to controversy, and I like controversy.
Right.
But the vaccine controversy is the one that I usually stay out of.
Yeah.
But related, apropos of vaccines, and this has come up on the TV. There's a lot, of course, you know, it's wall-to-wall coronavirus on television these days. But people get infected, test positive, get well, test negative, and then get reinfected.
Mm-hmm.
So does that mean in terms of a vaccine, I mean, you would think if you were sick once that you wouldn't get it again because you would naturally become immune.
Right.
But apparently not, right?
Right.
Now, this one doctor said, he has a theory. He says the quality of the test is still not good.
Right, exactly.
So there's a lot of false positives.
Yeah.
There's a lot of false negatives.
Yeah.
And when someone has recovered, quote unquote, they're on that borderline.
That's right.
And so that's one way to look at it. But it's another argument in terms of, well, what's the point of spending a fortune finding a vaccine if it's going to be out of date in 2 months because the virus adapts?
Exactly. That's it.
And now the other thing is, look, you mentioned HIV, and this is a really interesting one because HIV, there's an antiviral cocktail that a lot of HIV positive people take these days, and it appears to be working.
Yes.
They have zero antibodies. And there's a drug out called PrEP. I don't know if you've heard of it.
No.
Okay. Well, a lot of gay men take PrEP now because if you take PrEP, it's like one pill a day, you can have unprotected sex with HIV positive people and never get infected. It has like
what's in it?
I'm not sure.
I love learning this.
Okay. Well, that the street name is PrEP. It has, you know, a longer name, but look
right.
it up.
Yeah.
And it doesn't protect you from syphilis and gonorrhea and all the other things you can get these days.
Right.
But it will definitely protect you from getting HIV. And the part of the reason there's an outbreak of syphilis and gonorrhea lately is all these guys are getting on PrEP and having unprotected
right.
sex, and they know they're not going to get HIV, but they're getting all these other things.
Oh, man. Wow. Yeah.
Anyway, not to change the subject, my point was, you know, you said something about, well, there's no point in creating a vaccine because the virus just constantly adapts and the vaccine's out of date.
Right.
That was sort of the devil's advocate side of it. What's your take on it?
Well, I think that's true. I mean, they're spending billions of dollars on a vaccine. Sorry, I'm at a loss for words because it's just so ridiculous that they're not understanding how to boost our immune systems naturally. We have so many different systems. It's a miraculous system. And we're basing our scientific treatment for our whole world on something that's so out of date. It's 100 years old. It boggles the mind because there are people that are really damaged by vaccines, and people don't want to know that. And I think that dovetails into what I'm talking about. I mean, I've specialized in trauma and I have a book coming out on trauma. You just have to understand that there are so many things that we can do that are so in step with the planet, in step with the earth, in step with eating well, getting the kids in South LA or East LA or the San Fernando Valley who are eating chips or not eating, getting them to boost their immune system with fresh fruits and vegetables. I mean, it's not that complicated. And everybody thinks that we need to have this vaccine. It's kind of like, and what I'm trying to get at is that our trauma, I don't want to be demeaning to people, but there is something about the fact that when we look at the government, we look at allopathic medicine, we look at these people like that are up there on the television who are in charge, we're looking at our mom or dad who didn't take care of us properly. So we're going, oh no, that can't be it. He said that, she said that, we got to do that. We got to do all this instead of critical thinking. Really? Where, who are they influenced by? What are their motivations? And I know this is very tricky for people because nobody wants to be told, you know, you take responsibility for yourself. But we do. This is what we have to do now. We have to take responsibility. We have to take responsibility for our psychological. We have to take responsibility for our physical. We have to get really good science. We have to read about these things that are coming out. Even, you know, they don't want to hear it from China. But China has got this incredible amount of research coming out about vitamin C, about vitamin D, about the melatonin and the caffeic acid and all the things that we were talking about in terms of what are foods and why it works. So I would really encourage people who are listening to this that we really need to separate out truth from ignorance. And the only people that can do that are ourselves. And then we will understand why people are up in arms by the fact that Bill Gates is trying to dictate what happens to us in terms of vaccinations. I can't tell you, if you deal with trauma, you know how many children have been traumatized by vaccines, how many adults, how many families, people don't want to know that that's going on. But, you know, the Vaccine Injury Act, forget what it's called now, but it's paid out a lot of money because the manufacturers are not held liable. So the government is paying out to these families, the children who have been injured. And there are a lot of people. And I think that in my world where I grew up, I think that we probably did eat well. We probably had pretty good detox systems going in our body. But that's not true of everyone. The people who have been injured by these vaccines are people who went and did exactly what their medical doctor told them to do. And then they end up with these children they have to take care of for the rest of their lives because they have neurological damage. And if you people, you will believe this when you see it over time, it is the truth. It's shocking to me how many people, I never liked vaccines because I really knew that we could do so much more with nutrition and botanicals and homeopathy and hydrotherapy and Chinese medicine, you know, acupuncture, herbs and stuff. But the truth is that our children, when I had Stephanie Seneff, on, I think she's number four, I believe, or four, episode four or five. She talks about how children, 80%, I think it was, could be autistic by 2030 if we don't stop what we're doing because of the pesticides and how we're just not living in harmony with the earth and with each other. And that is always been my perspective. Totally scary. And also, you know, just in drugs in general, I think one thing that people don't talk about either is that who are these mass shooters, these school shooters? Mm-hmm. Well, I have a friend who's a psychiatrist, and she had a long list of all the shooters. I put it in my book, what they were on. They were on some kind of psychotropic, you know, some kind of
antipsychotic. Trump. Like Trump, cocaine and Adderall, like Trump.
Yeah, is that what he's on? Boy. Now he's on chloride.
This comedian who worked on The Apprentice, Trump's TV series, said he knew Trump was a drug addict. He'd seen him taking them and that he was on cocaine and Adderall.
No kidding, eh?
Yeah, wow. And apparently he's still on it and he's had hydroxychloroquine, however you say it. Hydroxychloroquine. Blah, 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 blah. Anyway.
Well, it is. I mean, yeah, there's so much to say, but I just wanted to, I guess our time is getting to an end. I have to also do a little bit of a commercial here because I need to find a way to fund this podcast. And I want to just say that if you're going to be healthy, it's really important, especially if you're in a city, that you get an infrared sauna. So I'm promoting Relax Sauna. They are amazing because it's just small. It's just a one person sauna, fits in your bedroom, and there you could pay it off along your credit card, but say $100 a month for 13, 14 months. That's it. It's not that expensive. So the phone number for that is Relax Sauna is 800-533-4372. And if you mention that you heard it on Dr. Heather Uncensored, then they're not going to give you a discount, but I will give you 30 minutes free so we can go over your health and I can put you on a detox plan. So you'll get that. So just make sure that if you are going to buy it, mention my name and then they'll let me know.
They have a website?
Momentum. I think it's called Momentum. I think it's called momentum.com.
Okay. Google Relax Sauna.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I should have known that. And the other thing is that I do have these books coming out in the next couple months, Surviving a Viral Epidemic, The Naturopathic Approach. So if anyone has any questions that they would like to see answered in that book, please again email me at drheatherh@icloud.com, and in the subject line just please write Dr. Heather Uncensored so I know where it's coming from. And the last thing I want to mention is that next week I'm going to be talking to an amazing person, Fritzi Horseman. She is the founder of the Compassion Prison Project, and what she's doing is incredible, and I really encourage you to listen to that next episode. So that will be probably coming out in 2 weeks. So what else? What shall we finish up with, Max? What can we tell people? Tell us a joke. You're a comedian.
Tell us a joke.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I make memes. I put memes up on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Reddit.
Tell people how they can get a hold of you. You say funny stuff.
I post memes a lot. I'm on Twitter as @TroubledMax. And I'm on Reddit. Just search for Maxwell Mitchell. I'm on Instagram and Facebook. Instagram @TroubledMax and Facebook Max Mitchell. But you can find me at any one of those places. I make memes, and then they're supposed to be funny.
They are funny. I love them. They're so terrific.
You know, I make memes, like I said, coronavirus and I have a lot in common. We both prefer older men.
Lynn Jessel.
Wait a second.
See? Jumped on my punchline.
Yes. Sorry about that. Oh, boy. There's Lynn. She's a comedian, too. I didn't turn the telephone off. Sorry about that, Lynn. I just hung up on her. But we need to finish off here. So can you repeat it, Max? Maybe we can just...
Okay. Coronavirus. This was in the beginning. I think before... I wrote this early on because it was saying older people... older men are the demographic that gets coronavirus more than any other demographic. So I said, coronavirus and I have something in common. We both prefer older men.
Right. Elliot's younger. I keep reminding you of that.
He's still old, though. Younger than me, but still old.
He doesn't look it. He's very well preserved, that boy. What did I not get to today that I wanted to get to? Well, I guess that was a lot.
There's always another podcast you can do.
Yeah, there's always another podcast. Okay, tune in next time. We're going to have a coronavirus number 4 in another couple of weeks.
Right. Mm-hmm. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's always great. Love having you.
Good to see you.
Yeah. Okay, everyone. Thanks so much for listening. And again, stay healthy, stay well, think for yourself, be kind. If you don't agree with someone else, try to get them to change their mind without going to anger and hate.
And name calling.
Let's love each other.
I always say, talk about the issue, not the person.
Exactly. Talk about the issue. Mm-hmm. And when you do talk about vaccines, remember that you're really getting to people's mythology. This is so important for people to hold on to. They just can't imagine. If you don't understand natural medicine, what it can do, you're going to go to vaccine because you don't understand. You don't have the confidence of what your body is capable of. So that's why people, if you can keep that in mind when you're talking to people who just, well, I mean, I was talking to, I think it was my sister-in-law. Well, until there's a vaccine, I was like, why are we waiting? We don't need to wait for a vaccine that's going to be harmful and that will damage some of us, not all of us. But anyways, let's end on that note. Go off. I would like to just be able to not care so much about that. The world is going down the tubes and we're all going with it. I just want to get to that place of having fun and doing comedy. But right now I ain't it, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're in the process of adapting to something really big. And people are nervous and they're insecure because they don't see a future they can make plans in.
Yeah. But there'll be new plans. Yeah. And a lot of us have been waiting for this time for people to wake up and be able to, with what you have there, was that Fiji or Hawaii, wherever you are? we've been waiting for the pristine to come back to our lives and to get out of this toxicity of environment, of the physicality, of our minds. So we should all be looking forward to it.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, take care, Max. Bye, everyone. Thank you. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
That was great, Doc. Now, next week, I'm really looking forward to that woman that helps the prisoners, because, I just don't want to hear one more thing about the coronavirus, to tell you the truth.